Good morning and welcome to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church. At least it's a heat wave today compared to what it was Friday morning. Welcome to everyone. I have a couple of announcements and then I'll take announcements from the floor. Tonight at 5 o'clock it's Kids for Christ. It's ages 5 through 5th grade and would love to have all children of that age meet here tonight at 5 o'clock. There is youth at 6 o'clock, I've been told. Are there any other announcements about the youth or the children before I move on? Okay, there is a sign-up sheet going around for the different committees. If you would like to be on a committee, please sign your name. I will say that more people would be helpful on the Christian Education Committee. It's only been three or four of us in the past several years, and we would love to have some new ideas. Are there any other general announcements?
There's a mistake in the bulletin, believe it or not. Doesn't happen very often.
Oh, no.
Except every week. This is not really a mistake. It's an addition. In the announcement, you'll see that we had our soup last week and that we raised $363.62. I got $40 more this morning, so that's $1,003.62. And we appreciate it. I'm going to take $2,000 with me to Hogarth, Samaria. I'll be leaving Saturday morning. And instead of the $1,500 that I was pushing for at the first of last year, we'll be able to give them $2,000. So I appreciate everybody that participated. And we will have another soup lunch on February the 15th for anybody that likes potato soup or bean soup.
Okay. Are there any other general announcements? We'll ask if there are any first-time visitors. I forgot to do that very first thing. Are there any first-time visitors? Anywhere?
Okay. We've got some longtime friends here with
okay.
us.
Okay.
Peggy Shelton and her daughter Karen Norris. And we
welcome.
We appreciate having them. Hank Shelton. Some of you know Hank Shelton from the Lions Club or the Lodge, and that's his wife and daughter.
Welcome. Are there any?
Karen's probably still a member here.
Okay. Are there any prayer requests or concerns? Terry Crick lost her mother this week. Her name was Mildred Mitchell, and burial and the funeral was yesterday at Tusculum, and then she was buried in Giles County. Are there any others? So keep Terry and her brother and that family on the prayer list. Are there any others?
Pam Huff's brother, Gary Huff, Pam Solomon's brother, Gary Huff, was in the hospital Friday at the point of death. We haven't had word from him. Mr. John Moore is in the hospital with pneumonia.
Are there any others?
Savannah, not only did you give a report on Savannah.
She's had this week a number of nights having contractions and way too early in pregnancy and causing lots of problems, so she's in bed. But she just asked for prayers for her and for me. Prayers and there may be more that we can do in getting to spend a little bit getting some meals together.
Okay.
Russ Gornan was living in his grandfather's house over on Tennis Road, a young adult trying to branch out, and last Sunday afternoon his house burned, or a portion of it. He was with us this morning. Parents let him move back in their house. That's nice of them. But one class did assist him this morning, so lift up Russ and always frustrating to have a loss like that. Didn't burn it down, but it was badly smoked and part of it was burned down.
Are there any others? Let's pause for a moment to prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Our call to worship this morning is based on Psalm 139, and it is responsive. We gather to worship and praise you, O Lord. Before we rise up in the morning, you know the details of our day.
When we speak, you already knew your words.
We can not begin to imagine the wonder of who you are.
You are above us, beyond us, before us, and around us.
We praise you, O God, and offer our hearts to you this day.
We honor and magnify your name, for you are our God.
Amen.
Let's turn in our hymnals now to hymn 106. Praise Him, praise Him.
To the Lord belong. Praise Him,
you bow with me for a prayer? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we know that you are good. And Lord, as some of our friends say, God is good all the time. And we know that because you are so good to us. You sent Jesus to be our Savior, to redeem us from Satan unto your kingdom and eternity in your presence. And oh Lord, we thank you. As we come today, we thank you that you watch over us, that you have not sent us out into the world to just fend for ourselves, but you have promised to be with us and to guide us, and you are with us, and you do guide us, and we thank you. And we offer praise to you. We come praising you for your many gifts to us, your protection over us, your guidance in our lives, your goodness, your mercy, who you are, and who you have called us to be, and who you are enabling us to become. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your help. Thank you for your word, and thank you for the opportunity to come together with fellow Christians to offer praise and glory unto you. And we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
If you would, please recite with me the Apostles' Creed. It is on page 716 in your hymnal, or should be up on the screen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. Third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Call to confession this morning is from Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Our prayer of confession is also in unison if you would like to follow along. Almighty God, our strength and our Redeemer, we stand before you today with a strong sense of our inability. We have sinned against you, our thoughts, our deeds, and our desires. There are things we have done, which not have done. There are things we ought to have done that we did not do. Yet we come to you asking forgiveness for the sake of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Grant that we may go in this place with new strength to serve you in the newness of life, to the glory of your name. man. Our words of assurance, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners.
Turn to hymns again, please, to hymn 26. A mighty fortress is our God. Let's sing 1, 3, and 4. 1, 3, and 4.
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark ever failing.
Our comfort be amid the flood, O Lord, is prevailing. For still our hearts are full,
seek to work us woe. His craft and power are shake, and on with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. For God hath willed His truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure.
Today is a very special day in Mr. Paul Campbell's life. He is 85 years old, and so we rejoice with him. But Tuesday is a very special day in the history of the United States of America. Inauguration Day for our new president. And we want to acknowledge ourselves as part of these great United States. And Mike Brine discovered the inaugural prayer that George Washington offered at his inauguration. So the first president offered this prayer, and I glanced through some pages on the internet this morning, I guess, and throughout the years, different presidents have had people to come and offer a prayer at the inauguration. Mike is coming this morning to lead the prayer. If you would like, you may follow. I believe everybody has access to a copy. I just printed it and handed a copy in the bulletin, I think. If you didn't get one, we can find you one. Mike, will you come and lead us in that inaugural prayer?
I love America.
I love America's people. I've not seen all of America, probably never will. But I love America from sea to shining sea, from shore to shore, from the mountains to the valleys, from the small villages to the big cities. And I love America's people. This is the greatest nation on the face of the earth as far as I am concerned, and I hope that's your, that you find it that way too. I have a deep contrition in my heart for servicemen and women who have served the United States in the military, and I thank all of you in this congregation who have done so. I pray for America every day, not just now, and for our military. And I hope you do too. I pray that America will be strong. I'm a sentimental person. I'm a patriotic person. And when I find things that just happen to jump out at me, I like to grab them. I like to take hold of them. I like to seize the moment. Well, I found a little book. This little book says on the front, Song and Service Book for Ship and Field, Army and Navy. This is a chaplain's book for the military. I will cherish this little book as long as I live. I only paid $3 for it at the flea market. And that's where I found our first president, George Washington's prayer for our nation. Incidentally, it was written at Newburgh, June 8, 1783, and sent to the governors of all the states. This country we live in was founded in God we trust. And I pray that it will stay that way. When they signed the Declaration of Independence, the last signature was signed, someone said, run out quickly, find a man of God, find a preacher, bring him here, and let's pray over the Declaration of Independence. I've been long-winded enough, so I'll get to the matter at hand. Washington's prayer for the nation. You may follow along with me or you may read with me. Almighty God, we make our earnest prayer that Thou wilt keep the United States in the holy protection, that Thou wilt incline the hearts of the citizens to cultivate a spirit of subordination and obedience to government, and entertain a brotherly affection and love for one another and for their fellow citizens of the United States at large. And finally, that Thou wilt most graciously be pleased to dispose us all to do justice, to love mercy, and to demean ourselves with that charity, humility, and pacific temper of mind which were the characteristics of the divine author of our blessed religion, and without an humble imitation of whose example in these things we can never hope to be a happy nation. Grant our supplications, we beseech Thee, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Mike.
Our offertory sentence this morning is from 1 Corinthians 10:26. For the earth and its fullness are the Lord's. Will the ushers please come forward?
Father,
praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Most of the time we don't realize what people do until they don't do it anymore. Savetta's been a little incapacitated this week, and we're Ted and I and Melanie and several people are scrambling around to fill the void that she may not be able to come back again this week. So please pray for her and for her pregnancy. And But it's not just a threatening thing for the baby. I think Melanie said that. But Savetta's health is at stake here too. So please pray for them.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? I'll be able to speak at all. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. When that day comes and I find myself standing with the sun, I can only imagine. And all that I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. All I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
We was hoping that John and JT would be here this morning, but they're not. Sam, don't leave. Sam is going to lead 15 people to South America this week. John and JT Strasser are going with them, and say JT is what, nine? Something. Huh?
Tommy Job,
right, from our community. But we're sending a 9-year old on a mission trip, and or 8 or 9 or 10, or I forget.
Nine,
okay, so I was right to start with. And so let's don't just say, hey, they're going on a mission trip. Remember, Paul called the elders together at the church in Ephesus, and they gave him the blessing. So let's have the elders to stand. Just stand where you are, and let's offer a prayer for this mission trip. Sam, John, and JT, Tommy Job, and the other, I guess, 11 people who will be going, if my math is right. Could we have maybe more than one prayer offered this morning on their behalf? Jim Baker, maybe I failed it. You could lead us in prayer. Amen and amen.
It's children's time now.
Miss Mary Jo.
Miss Mary Jo.
And Miss Andrea is sick this morning. I'll announce that. She called and she didn't sound good when I heard the message.
And then we have a teacher for Children's Church. Okay.
Miss Jennifer.
So, after Miss Mary Jo gets finished, you may go with Miss Jennifer to Children's Church.
Now you have.
But I want you to think about something this morning. And it was in our call to finish. I forgot to do this. I forgot to do that. I meant to do this. I meant to do that. Well, there is. You'll find out as you go to do it. There are words. And when you learn to read, it opens the world to you. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't really have to. You can read and travel everywhere. And yet, English language, there's some strange words. And there are words that are spelled differently. They mean different things, but they sound just alike. And that is called, we used to call them when I was in school, homonyms. But now, Miss Melanie tells me they're called homophones. So we're going to talk about homophones this morning. I have in my pocket some mint. Hard mint, I have soft mint, and Brother Larry had a tiny little bitty mint in his pocket. But these mints can mean lots of different things. This is a M-I-N-T. But there's a mint, M-E-A-N-T. I meant to go feed the dog, Mom. I meant to do my homework. Meant to read my study school lesson. Meant to pick up my clothes out of school. You know, I have some boys with it too. He's in sixth grade, so he learned the value of the lesson. He didn't pick his clothes out of school. When he got in, his mom thought he'd done, you know, she just left it up to him to pick them up. He got ready to go to school. He didn't close the door. Do you know what he had to do?
Come
he had to stay home They like to go and wash his clothes and dry them and get them on back to go. So he meant to pick them up, but he didn't. I want you to think about what you mean to do. I mean to get up and get to school. I mean to mind my mom and dad. I mean to do good work. I mean to read the Bible. I mean to come to Sunday school and learn about the Word of God. So I want you all to think about this week, because men make a lot of different things. Men good. They taste good. They last. They help our throat. But I want you to men to do good. Okay? This moment we have a song about men. We have a song about men.
A reading from the book of 1 Samuel. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Also from John. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite, in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Lisa, and thank others who have jumped in. Mary Jo, to you, and to... we actually had two to do children's stories this morning, but we didn't know all of that, so we only used one. We'll save that other one for another day. Thank you. Thank you. Calling from God. You've heard two passages this morning. And I wonder if you have, and I'm believing that you have, or you wouldn't be here, but have you experienced or felt that or believed that God was calling you? You ever felt like God was calling you? And what did you do when God called to you? Maybe for a long-term responsibility. Maybe for a short-term responsibility. Missionaries. We have missionaries going on short-term mission trips now, a week or 2 weeks or 4 weeks or something like that. I grew up in a world where missionaries went to a foreign country, and it was always to a foreign country, and I believe they stayed for 4 years. And I think somebody figured out there was something real psychological about the 4-year furlough. The missionaries needed to come home, and the family back home needed them to come home, and maybe the people they were ministering to, maybe they needed to be free of them for a while. We don't know. We don't know. And maybe they didn't. But that was kind of the process. They'd go and stay 4 years, come home and stay a year, and then go back. And then they started 3 months vacations. And then we began to hear about short-term missionaries or short-term mission trips from 1 week, a few days maybe, and many. Work trips, preaching trips, sharing experiences, living among the people, and leading them to know Christ as their Lord and Savior, Jesus as the Christ. It happened often in the Bible that people felt called or believed that they were called of God, and the call came in various ways. We find today the voice of God at night, and also we find another one being called by a fellow human being. He's the one. Philip is the one that initially called Nathanael to come to Jesus. And then when he met Jesus, they built a relationship. God calling people. Calling people to do something for His kingdom. and for His honor and for His glory. We might say calling people to do something for God. Just read the Bible, and we will point out a few people in a few moments. Or we plan to. Today we have read about two people who were called. Called of God to minister in His kingdom's work for Jesus Christ. One was called to be an Old Testament prophet. That was Samuel. Beautiful story. If you read a little past what we read for our passage today, you'll find that Samuel was not called to a glorious job. He had to talk to Eli about God's plans. God gave him his plan for Eli and Eli's family. Eli's children, sons, had not been good people. And God was basically taking the job of priest away from him and giving it to Samuel in the form of a prophet. And these boys were something else in a bad sense. And so Samuel was going to be the one that had to deliver this message even to Eli, who had raised him and cared for him. So it wasn't such a glorious experience that he was facing early on. As we read it, it appears to be early on. And Eli came to Samuel and said, "Now what did the Lord say to you?" After he sent him back and said, "Say, speak, Lord, I'm listening. Your servant is listening." And Samuel said, "Now I want to know exactly what he told you." And there was Samuel having to, give him the sentence, basically, from God. But Eli knew, I guess he may have known before then, what was going to happen. But one was called to be an Old Testament prophet. And Samuel also had the responsibility, the blessing, the opportunity. We passed that little sheet around. That's an opportunity list. Opportunity to put your name down or to scratch your name off where you don't want to be used anymore or misused, and we may be guilty of misusing people. Hope not. Try not to be. But we keep on giving many opportunities. And he had the opportunity, Samuel did, of finding and going and calling kings for Israel. He went out to Saul. That didn't work out, really. It wasn't Samuel's fault. It wasn't God's fault. It was Saul's fault. And then he went out for David. And he's the one that went and found David. And the other one was called to be one of the 12. Do you think of an honor in the Christian world or in the history of Christianity, those closest to Jesus? Now, Peter, James, and John had this special relationship because they're often going off just along with Jesus. But next in line were the rest of the 12. Would there be 9, 10, 11, 12? 9 more. And one of them was Nathanael. Now, we don't hear much about Nathanael later, so some wonder if he really was one of the 12. But the general consensus among Bible scholars is that Bartholomew was Nathanael. Had two names, like I have two names. And you have two names, or many of you do, two given names, as they call it. And Bartholomew was Nathanael, or that's the belief of Bible scholars. And we read later in a list of apostles, disciples who became apostles, and we read about Bartholomew. Sometimes, and I'm going to say oftentimes, and maybe more times it's this a way than it's another way, people have difficulty understanding or perceiving God's call. One of the most difficult decisions in my life was understanding, was this really God calling, or was it something that I just wanted to do myself? Where it started, I'm not sure. I can go back to 10 or 11 years old. We don't know. I don't know. Little situations along the way, as I reflect back through my teenagehood, then as a young adult, and finally the spring when I was a junior in college, I had to make a decision. I knew I had to make a decision. Knew I did. Couldn't get it out of the mind. And with much counsel and with much prayer and much confusion, I understood that God was calling me into the ministry, the church ministry, the pastorate, to be a good pastor. And I really even felt then that I had the desire to be a better pastor, taking care of the people's needs in a spiritual sense and offering comfort and encouragement to them. And that was my strong gift, and it turned out that way, I guess. Preaching is part of it, but the strong gift was pastoring. And then I learned about spiritual gifts, and that was one of them. But a difficult time understanding. But I've heard other testimonies, and people have a difficult time comprehending or understanding or figuring it all out, if they ever figure it out. Much of it's a leap of faith. Samuel had a difficult time understanding that it was God calling. He thought it was Eli calling. Now, Eli could have spoken for God, but this time God bypassed Eli and went directly to Samuel. Eli, though, was part of the plan, and it took Eli's wisdom and knowledge and maybe understanding of his own calling. We don't know about his calling, but he was called to be the priest, and his person, wisdom, understanding, experiences, etc., what spirituality he had, it was used to help Eli understand his, to help Samuel understand his calling. So Eli had to assist Samuel in understanding that it really was God calling him. You find that in verse 9. It's so plain there. And then we'll move to Nathanael. Nathanael. As I say, we don't know much more about him, but we, a beautiful story here, and a good lesson about God's call. It appears, as I read this at least, and maybe as you read it, it appears to you, it appears to me that Nathanael had a problem in responding to Jesus calling him just to be a disciple. He had trouble believing that Jesus was the Messiah. Now, my problem back in, I guess, 64, the spring of 64 and before, was not that I doubted Jesus being the Messiah. I just didn't see how I could fit into it as a minister. I thought it was something that I was wanting to do. Nathanael could not believe that Jesus was the Messiah, or he had, at first he couldn't. He came to that belief. He had difficulty understanding that. He had problems because of maybe a neighborhood rivalry, or one neighborhood being a rival with the other neighborhood. You've experienced that, haven't you? Many of you here from the South Nashville area went to school at Antioch. Right? Who was your big rivalry? Who was Antioch's big one? Y'all were kind of a new school, or were you? County? Who? Everybody was. Okay. Okay. Well, that wasn't the answer I needed, Jerry. I didn't prompt Jerry there. I went to Caledonia High School, and we had that was a county school, and there was another county school called New Hope. Well, we didn't think much of New Hope because they would always win when we played football. And we didn't think anything good could come out of New Hope, maybe, but it so happened in my experience, a student from New Hope was preaching at my home church the summer when I went home, and the preaching the Sunday that I made my commitment to the ministry there in the local church. So when God starts dealing with you, you're not prejudiced against those New Hope people anymore. Actually, I had gone to junior college with a number of them, and they were pretty decent people. But back in high school, we thought nothing good could come out of New Hope, right? Because we were mad at them because they always won in football. Nathaniel thought, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Why? What would that be kind of like? In my community, we live out in the country south of Caledonia. North of Caledonia, over in the next county, there was a river bottom community called Barty Hatchie. I don't think, now I can't prove this, but I don't think they even knew how to spell right. Because the river that was real close to them was the Buddy Hatchie River. But they named their community Barty Hatchie. I'm going to tell you, we were warned, stay away from Barty Hatchie. And growing up, I don't ever remember going that far north. Because Barty Hatchie was a place that we didn't want to go. And we were warned not to go to. Kind of back then, we heard, whether it was true or not, bootleggers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, you could find that illegal whiskey, moonshine and stuff up at Barty Hatchie. And they would shoot you if you got up there. So we didn't think much about the people of Barty Hatchie. If they couldn't spell, you know, if they couldn't name their town after the river close to them or spelled it different, something was wrong there, I thought. But anyhow, Nathaniel said, kind of neighborhood rivalry, could anything good come out of Nazareth? He was from Bethsaida. And so he questioned this. He didn't think anyone from Nazareth could even begin to fulfill the prophecy of Moses or the prophecy of the other prophets. And that's why Philip came and said, hey, we found a man. He's from Nazareth who is fulfilling what Moses told us about, or Moses wrote about. And he's fulfilling what some of the other prophets have written about. And he said, well, could anything good come out of that place? Showed his prejudice, didn't he? Nathanael. He did go to see Jesus, though. He didn't let that keep him from going. He went to see Jesus, and Jesus amazed him. Jesus amazed him with what Jesus knew about him. They had never met before. And he said, yeah, this morning I saw you under a fig tree. And he said, huh? How'd he know that? That part's not written in, but if you were there, don't you think you would have said the same thing? And verse 49 says, and Nathanael became a believer. Doesn't say it just like that. What does it say? Then, no, it's verse 50. Well, 49, he expresses his belief. And then in verse 50, Jesus even affirms him as a believer. You believed. Believe what? Believed in Jesus. You believe because I told you. You believe because Jesus did a miracle. And then Jesus really said to him, you ain't seen nothing yet. Read the rest of it. The next verses. You ain't seen nothing yet. You're going to see angels descending and ascending. Somebody referred to even Jesus' ascension later. Nathaniel was there, and what an experience. Out with Jesus, and he's just taken up into the clouds. Anyhow, when God calls, when I was growing up, and some of you are excuse me, about my age, and some of you are younger, so some of you may not remember this, but in the community at least I grew up in the neighborhood, excuse me, got those mints? I'll try one of mine. Okay. In that neighborhood, we started talking about the call of God. He was called to preach, be a preacher. And then the preacher had to be a pastor. I had a little experience down here at Kirkland. Had a tent revival. Tent revival meeting put on by five or six or a few African-American churches. They invited me down to preach. And I went there, and two or three years they invited me to come, and I was the only white fella in the crowd. But they treated me so nice. I got to sit on the stage, and I was one of many preachers. And they'd have three preachers, I guess preaching to me and then preaching to the congregation. And one guy, it was interesting, night I was there, he got up and he preached, and he'd get started, and he'd kind of run real fast in his preaching, and then he'd go blank. Go blank. Couldn't say another word. Young fella. And the women in the congregation, bless them, I appreciate them so much. They would say to him, but he couldn't say a word. It already appeared that way. He'd just shut up. And they'd say to him, "That's all right. That's all right. It'll come, it'll come. That's all right. It'll come, it'll come." Well, they urged him on, and he'd gather his thoughts, and the Lord would get through to his fear, I guess, and he'd start again, and he'd run with a few sentences, and then he'd stop again. Like, what am I going to say next? And they would say, these women in the congregation, maybe 30 people there, they'd say, "That's all right. That's all right. It'll come, it'll come." And I thought, my goodness, what a blessing. What a blessing. You know what would have happened if he'd have been in a white church, a predominantly white congregation? They'd have run him off. They'd have said, "He ain't called to preach." They'd have said, "He couldn't have forgot if he'd been called to preach." But friends, if you stand up, I told Mr. Crawford last Sunday when I was calling Mr. Crawford forward, I couldn't have said Crawford if it was going to chop my head off. But he got my message and came on. He could see I was making eye contact with him. But Crawford would not come out of my mouth because it would not go. I don't know what it was. And I keep thinking, it'll come. Yeah. But he got down here, and I had got home. I kept thinking, who was it? But then what? The white congregation would have said, "He ain't called to preach. He wouldn't have forgot if he would have been." Those folks prayed that guy, urged him on through that. And that's one reason I take notes, because I knew white congregations. They'll say, even if you do preach your heart out, and don't forget, some of them say, "Nice little talk you made there." Amen. And we keep saying, but that was, we don't say it, but we say, "Well, I thought that was a sermon." What's the difference? I don't know, but us preachers don't like to hear nice little talks. Especially nice little talks, but anyhow. But when I was growing up, and when I went into the ministry, the emphasis was on being called to preach. Maybe missionaries could be called, and then maybe I got to a Bethel College, a church-supported Christian college, and they had some preachers who were doing the teaching there. And that was their only job. They'd go out and preach every once in a while. And I learned that maybe you could be called to teach. And then I got to seminary. All of them were, at that time, that were there, I guess now, were preachers, called and ordained ministers, and learned that you could be called to preach or be a missionary or be a college professor in a Christian school or be a college seminary professor in a theological seminary. And that was about it. If you did not fill the call to one of these, it wasn't a call. That was the thought. Or that's what I understood anyway. But in my lifetime, I've seen a shift, a change. And I think it's in the Bible all along. I don't think we've changed the Bible. I think we've come to understand the Bible. Early on, though, I began to hear about God calls us to this work and God calls us to that work, and I'd say, huh? He just calls us to preach. That was my training and understanding. But slowly, some people begin to say, God calls us farmers to be a farmer, or an engineer to be an engineer, etc. Teachers to be teachers in school. And slowly I began to see the church become more serious about God calling people to work other than as a preacher. And now we openly talk about God calling people to many works. And I haven't asked Mary Beth about this, but I think Mary Beth Rowland was called to be a teacher. And I think her daughter was called to be a teacher. And I think God had something to do with that. And I do know that my Elizabeth, or our Elizabeth, Carol's here this morning, our Elizabeth, she went 6 years doing something else, and she kept feeling this call and call. And she made a commitment to be a teacher. And she's back in school now, second semester on a 2-year program. And I said, Liz, are you sure you want to be a teacher? Mary Beth has warned her against it. Melanie's warned her against it. Blah, blah. And I said, is she really not what you? She says, Daddy, I'm called. Daddy, I'm called. So if you're called, you got to go, no matter what. And I've got to encourage her. And we can do that. Now, I think Melanie Stout, Betty Mosley, probably Betty Vincent, she was a teacher. Did you feel a call to be a teacher? CE directors, youth workers, senior adult ministers, that means not senior ministers, but ministers to senior adults, etc. Ministers to children. Many now who come before the committee on the ministry come saying that they don't know what they're being called to, but they know that God is dealing with them and they call them to something. And that God, through Jesus Christ, is calling them to be a minister for His work. And the church now has even started paying are giving assistance, scholarships, to those who want to go to seminary for something other than to be just a pastoral ministry. And Susan was one of these, but she got to go under these rules before the rules were even changed. So we're pleased for that. I offered and said, do we need to pay the money back? And they said, no, forget it. We done changed the rules now. So anyhow, tell you some of the details of our life. But these people who are called to work. People who are called in the Bible. Moses was called. We don't have much of his preaching, a little bit of it, but not much. But his big call was to lead his people from slavery to freedom. David was called to be king, though we've got some of his prayers, etc., etc. He was called to be a king of Israel. Isaiah, yes, was a prophet. He was in the temple worshiping God. When does the call come? He called to Moses and his watching sheep on the back 40, as I call it. Isaiah was called while he was in the temple worshiping God. Jeremiah was called before he was even born. Jonah, don't know where he was, but he was called to be a preacher to a people he didn't like. And he despised them. And God said, go to Nineveh and preach to them. And he got even mad when he went and preached and they turned to God. But God called him anyway and used him. And finally he settled down. Amos, a dresser of sycamore trees, and I compared that to 8 o'clock hour, as a pulpwood hauler. We don't know what a dresser of sycamore trees, I don't know what it was, but it probably wasn't a very elevated job. And he went to northern Israel and preached to them and to be a spokesperson. Gideon, Deborah, men and women alike. Mary was called to be the mother of our Savior. And then we're back to Samuel. And then all of the 12. Peter became the outstanding preacher. But Andrew worked the crowd. How did I know that? He knew about that little boy who had some food when the people got hungry and it was too far to town. And so Jesus fed the 5,000. Andrew worked the crowd. John wrote a gospel. So did Matthew. We don't hear much else about Matthew except he wrote a gospel. I mean, after he was called. Stephen was called to be a deacon. But he's a pretty good preacher. But when he preached, he got stoned to death. Paul was called to be a preacher, especially to the Gentiles. Timothy, basically a church administrator, plus a preacher. Zacchaeus, we don't know what happened to him after his conversion, but he was called to salvation in Christ. The jailer at Philippi, we don't know what happened to him after he became a Christian, but he was called to be a Christian. Trust in Jesus. A variety of callings to a variety of responsibilities according to their abilities and gifts. And friends, God is still calling people. Maybe He's calling you. And we're going to give you an opportunity to respond publicly. If you don't do it today, if you're not ready for that, you can come any time and we'll talk about it if you feel that God is calling you. 327 is the song. 1 and 3 are the verses. And if your response is a public one this morning, we'll meet here at the altar and we'll begin to investigate your call to God. You and the call of God.